Welcome back to the Pastor's Free Game Podcast. I'm Lisa Scheffler, and we have been talking to some amazing ministry partners over the last few weeks, people who are doing some incredible things right here in North Texas. And today I'm going to be talking to two amazing women from Emily's Place, a program for domestic violence victims. You will love hearing their heart for these women and the success they're having helping them rebuild their lives. All right, welcome back everybody to the Pastor's Free Game Podcast. I'm excited that we have some special guests again. I'm loving our Missions Focus Month because so far we have had a couple of amazing ministries represented, and their representatives have come in to share their passion for our community. And I have two more ladies who are here to share their passion for what they're doing. This is Colleen and Carrie from Emily's Place. And Emily's Place is one of our ministry partners that we support here at Christ Fellowship, and we'd love it if our listeners would also support them. But first, let's find out from you, Colleen, what is Emily's Place?
So Emily's Place was started in 2002 by Mark Hagen, who is still our board chair and president. We moved to Collin County in 2007, and we built the first of our residential homes in 2014. So Emily's Place is actually named after Mark's cousin, Emily. She died by suicide at age 22, and he and his family wanted to keep her memory alive while also offering women who were facing their own struggles the opportunity to transform their lives.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, what a legacy. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about who Emily's Place is for. I know it's for women, but is there a particular woman that comes to you?
So for a lot of the families that come to Emily's Place, you know, we are their last hope. They have exhausted all other support systems or don't have good support systems. Our mission at Emily's Place is to break the cycle of domestic violence for women and their children through long-term transformational care to restore faith, hope, and health. So the families that come to us, again, you know, a lot of them, they come from shelters, other referral partners, but they are looking for a long-term solution to break that cycle of domestic violence for them and their children.
Okay, so these women have been in domestic violence situations. You guys are not an emergency shelter.
We are not. We are not an emergency shelter. We are a transformational living. So our families can actually stay with us for up to 24 months.
Okay. So you usually, women come to you from other, like you said, a referral, maybe they go to a emergency shelter, or perhaps they're just living with relatives, but they need to get back on their feet. And so they would come to you and apply. And how would that work?
Yeah, so it is through an application process. We do work with a lot of our local partners. So we do get referrals from emergency shelters, other domestic violence programs. And then a lot of our women find us on their own, do their mm-hmm. research. You know, they may be looking mm-hmm. for a way to get out, and it's not easy.
Right.
If you have nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. So some of them do their own research and find us that way. But you know, we are the bridge from shelters to the community as well. So again, we offer a stable place for our families to begin to heal and grow. So we're not the emergency shelter. 24 months up to, and we have women and children in our program, and the children are anywhere from newborns up to the age of 10.
Yeah, you were saying that almost all are, or is it all the women
all of,
have children?
All of the women in our program currently are with children.
Wow. And so you were telling me a couple of statistics before we started recording. Why don't you share those? Because I want people to understand how many women are impacted by domestic violence.
So statistically, it's 1 in 4 in our mm-hmm. country. And more recently, statistics are 1 in 3 in the state of Texas. So chances are we all know someone who is experiencing domestic violence in some form.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need a safe place and a place to build their lives rebuilt.
Well, and the other thing, you know, our families can stay with us for up to 2 years, but we provide everything they need. So counseling, housing, transportation, childcare, job readiness, life skills. So everything they need when they come to us, we are there to support them, to encourage them, to help them become self-sufficient. So when they do leave Emily's Place, they're in a really good place.
Yeah, that's great. So talk a little bit about those emotional and psychological needs of the people that come, particularly the children who come to you.
So we are, the children that come in, they have obviously, you know, faced some trauma. So we have licensed counselors that come to our campus. So that way they don't have to go somewhere uncomfortable, but they come right to campus and they provide one-on-one therapy with the children. They will also provide feedback for the moms and do some family therapy. During that time, they're providing them with age-appropriate problem-solving skills. But then also our moms are getting weekly therapy, counseling along separately. They also have group mental health workshops that throughout the year. They're just finishing up a 6-week session right now. And then our moms can work on their self-care and heal themselves, because ultimately they need to be able to be a little bit healed to start working on healing that family unit with their children. They're rebuilding that trust with their children as well.
Yeah, I think I saw on your website the statistic of children who also are perhaps victims of violence, if the mom is a victim of violence, is pretty high. And then also, even if they themselves weren't actually abused, they witnessed it.
That is correct. And, you know, even our moms, a lot of them, they're not just leaving one unhealthy relationship, one domestic violence relationship. This is oftentimes something that they have either grown up seeing from their own parents or aunts or uncles or grandparents. So it's a cycle. And that's our goal at Emily's Place, is to break that cycle.
Yeah.
And it's not just the therapy that we're doing to heal those family, you know, that family unit.
Tell me more.
Building, you know, new memories and traditions. You know, the holidays are coming coming up, and it is probably one of the busiest times on campus, but the happiest time. Because ultimately, this is the first time that they can probably have a stress-free holiday.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. So tell me a little bit about the residential area where these are, like, apartments.
So we have two houses that have, we call them dorm style suites.
Okay,
in there. So each family has their own dorm style room. Some of those rooms have their own private bathroom inside. Some of them might share with one other family, depending on their family unit size. They have a community kitchen, a community living room, a community playroom. We have a playground on campus. We have a program house on campus, and that's where the moms might work on their, you know, some education or job readiness things. But in that program house, they also have a playroom. We also have a counseling room, because right on campus we have our case manager and therapy taking place. They have a technology room so that they can, you know, check out computers and work on those things as well.
Yeah. And so tell me a little about the job training or job opportunities, because you want these women to be able to be financially independent.
Yes. So we have the computers available for them to complete their coursework, create new resumes, research jobs. We spend a lot of time doing that, something that they might be interested in. But not only while they're researching them, they're also looking at the earning potential. And if there's further education that needs to take place, what that looks like. And could maybe they get that done while they're still caring for their family, or during their time at Emily's Place. And then by providing that support to our residents, we're able to find opportunities that would put on a path to living independently once they leave Emily's Place and be able to sustain their family on a livable wage. We partner with some other area programs that will also work on some job readiness. So actually next Monday, they start a 4-week session on all job readiness skills that might be practicing interviewing. We work with Dress for Success, you know, how to dress.
Resume building.
Yep, the resume building, all these different skills. We also work with, the area library that has numerous programs and trainings that they can take online through them as well.
Oh, that's great. So.
And that's one of the things with our program, too. Our moms are required to work or be in school. We have one of our new residents did not complete high school, so she's currently working on getting her GED. And then as soon as we reach that milestone, she'll start looking for employment.
That's great. So yeah, and they have a safe place to do that in, right? That's probably one of the main things, I would imagine.
The safe place and the support system.
And the support system.
And guidance, the encouragement. So maybe the first test on the GED, what if she doesn't pass that first test? Maybe if she was on her own, she would just say, never mind, I don't want to go do it again. That was very disappointing. But then we have the staff that are going to surround her and build her up and encourage her to keep going, because ultimately we want to see her accomplish those goals.
And we celebrate their successes.
Yes.
At every chance.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. These women have made a very difficult choice to sort of restart their lives.
It's not easy to leave. No. And you know, I know you asked about statistics earlier. You know, statistically, it takes 7 times for a woman to leave her abuser. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
So when they have the courage to leave,
they should be celebrated for that.
We do celebrate. And you know, I'm just so thankful that, you know, Emily's Place is there to help them heal, grow, and rebuild their lives and create a better future for them and their families.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
We tell them we're glad they're here. We're proud of them for making, you know, this decision for their family, and that they're, you know, not alone while they're doing it.
Yeah, that's incredible. I can tell how passionate you both are and how much you love these women and are proud of them and are rooting them on. And I'm sure that's so important to them in making those steps, which are hard. So tell me a little bit, what does success look like for you guys?
So really our greatest measurement would be when they graduate our program.
Okay.
However, that looks different for each client that comes through our program. Mm-hmm. So we have specific categories that we want each resident to meet goals in. There's actually 11 different categories, but here are just a few of them are, you know, their health, you know, getting health checkups, making sure they've had their women's exam, dental checkups, and also how to take care of those things. So what is dental hygiene? Tonight just happens to be a class that we're going to be taking on dental hygiene for themselves and their children.
Yeah.
And then another one would be education. So that, again, will look very different for somebody. One might be getting their GED, where another one may be completing a bachelor degree, or maybe they've already got a degree and we're just helping them find a job. Mental wellness, transportation. So sometimes they come in without a driver's license, and that would be the goal. Or they come in with a vehicle, but it's not registered or insured. So we help them meet that goal. Or maybe none of those things, and we're helping them save towards a car. Finances and spiritual. A new resident coming in the program, like I said, they may need to have goals under all 11 categories. But then somebody else that's brand new might only need to meet goals under 4 or 5 of those categories.
Right.
So we really do try to individualize for each person that comes through.
Yeah. You know, everyone in our program has experienced domestic violence, but they all have a different story.
Sure.
And so at Emily's Place, you know, we meet the families where they are when they get to us.
It's not one size fits all.
There's not. And to Carrie's point, you know, we have these different categories that we work with, but, you know, one mom may need more help in one area than another. And so that's why it's important to meet them where they are and give them what they need when they get there and help them along the way in meeting those goals and objectives.
Yeah, that's really good. So what's been the impact of Emily's Place in the lives of women? And I'm sure you could tell me countless stories of women who have been impacted, but can you share a couple to help us get a picture of what it looks like?
I'm going to say, you know, a lot of times when our families get to us, they are very broken.
Yeah.
They've been let down not only by their abuser, sometimes by the system. Some have grown up in the foster care system. Some have had very hard, family lives. We see the impact every day, little by little. I know you're going to share. I get teary-eyed and I get goosebumps. But, you know, every day I know that we are making a difference in the lives of these moms and these children. And it's not something that happens overnight.
Sure.
It's not even something that happens in a month or 6 months. But we do see every day, you know, little things where they are moving towards self-sufficiency. They are safe. You can see them start to enjoy life. And we see children being children, playing in the playground, riding their bikes while the moms are looking on. You know, and for that time, at least, they feel safe. Mm-hmm. They're at peace. And you know, children should be able to be children. And moms should be able to enjoy watching their children be children, right?
So I have a story about one of our recent graduates that I wanted to share. And this mom and her daughter, they arrived. They were so emotionally drained from the trauma that they had been experiencing. The child, actually at the time, was about 4 years old. She just screamed, even trying to come in for the interview to be accepted into this program. They were accepted. Their first night there, mom, that you know, came to us and said she can't remember the last time that they slept through the night. Wow. Without waking up with the little one, you know, crying or being scared. She just felt at peace. Now, mom was just so frightened that her abuser was going to find her. She wouldn't drive her car because she thought it would be recognized. So we actually tarped the car and transported her through Uber, you know, until she was able to get rid of that vehicle. But ultimately, less than 18 months later, she did graduate from our program. Some of her goals, she saved enough to purchase a new car in actually less than 6 months. And it was a new to her car. However, it was a very nice car that, you know, we had checked out and everything, with zero debt. And that's part of our budgeting, awesome. Program that we work with them on. She also had a fully funded emergency savings established before she moved out. So if there was an emergency or she was off work or her child was out sick from school, she didn't have to worry about how she was going to make rent or pay a bill. And ultimately, they moved into their own apartment. We worked with another program that came in and fully furnished and decorated the apartment.
Oh, that's great.
For the mom and the child. And what's really beautiful about her story, too, is another graduate that graduated about a month after her. They went to Cellebrite. There was a medical emergency that occurred. And the other mom ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks. Their children are about the same age. This mom here actually took care of that child for 2 weeks because they were now each other's community and support system. And, you know, she was there. She took that child up to the hospital every day to see her mom, got that child back and forth to school every day. And then afterwards, just visiting, you know, with them, they said, well, you know, they don't know who they would have if it wasn't for Emily's Place.
Yeah.
Emily's Place ultimately helped them find those friendships and that turned into family and that community.
Yeah, you guys shared before we started recording that for these women, this is home for them.
It is.
For
it
the
is.
2 years that they are there, but it's still kind of going back home even after. So you said sometimes they come back to visit even though they've graduated from the program.
We have a graduation program.
Yeah.
So our moms and children are still involved. We do what we call Mini Camp Emily a couple times a year, and then in the summer, a week-long event where all our graduate children are invited back.
Oh, that's great.
To see children, you know, the other
children
that they
used
to live with, their friends, their family.
Yeah.
And then we also have a mom's brunch a couple times a year with our graduate moms, but we're always their support system. And then also they are always welcome back to all our holidays because this is their house. This is their family. So usually at any given holiday, we have a handful of them there just depending on what's going on. They come back and they're there for Christmas Day dinner, or maybe it's coming back for the Easter egg hunt and having Easter brunch with everybody because this is their family and their memories
too. Going home.
Yeah. And once you've been a part of the Emily's Place family, you're always a part of the Emily's Place family.
Yes.
Even the mom that Carrie just shared, the mom that was taking care of the other mom's daughter, they came to campus several times each week while her, you know, the mom was in the hospital to have dinner with our families. Dinner on Sundays, we do Dinner for the Soul. Came on Sundays, went to church, came back, and she was there. And we were her support as well. So We were there to support her while she was supporting her friend and another one of our graduates who is part of our family.
Yeah. Carrie, you said something earlier about it's so important that these women don't feel alone.
Yes.
And I would imagine that having the support of someone who's maybe a little ahead of them on the path, maybe they've been out of the situation longer, they've met some of their milestones. That's probably a huge encouragement.
It is. And we also use our moms, depending on where they're at in the program, when they get to a certain spot, have met certain goals, they actually start mentoring our new moms.
That's great.
So, you know, sometimes that's with a little direction, but they are supposed to be teaching life skills and how to create intentional family time. So they are also mentoring these moms on what that intentional family time looks like. And I think that has been really actually a great success. It's something a little bit newer in our program that we've been experimenting with, but they were kind of doing it on their own before that even.
Yeah.
You know, when they were going to church on Sunday, for example, you know, the mom that it's her first week, you know, one of the, you know, moms that have been here for a while might be saying, hey, this is where we sit, or, you know, this is the time we like to arrive so we can get our coffee before we go in and different things like that. That's just how they kind of encourage each other. And
it is. And it's motivating and encouraging to see someone who's been in the same situation as you. Again, they all have a different story, but they've all experienced domestic violence. And so to see someone who's been there a little bit longer and see how they have been able to reach goals. You know, a lot of the moms, when they come to Emily's Place, they don't own a vehicle. Right. And, you know, part of our, we have three pillars, personal empowerment, economic empowerment, and family empowerment. And so on the economic side, you know, we're helping them learn how to budget and how to save money. And so we help them save for a car. We don't want them to incur debt or additional debt in the case of those that come to us with debt. We help them to pay down that debt and learn how to use their money wisely. But when they've saved enough to buy a car, you know, we work with a local dealer and they get us great cars at affordable prices. When you see a mom, and we have one who just got a beautiful car, when they're FaceTiming us from the car dealership or they pull back in with that car, you know, a lot of us drive every day. We drive to work, we drive to school, we drive our children around. But for a mom who has not ever had an opportunity to have their own vehicle, to have their own bank account, to have a debit card, you know, driving in with a car is such a sense of independence and accomplishment. And so we celebrate, well, we celebrate outside, all of their success, but we're all there.
We're outside dancing and yelling and hollering.
You know, it's a big milestone. Yeah. It's a big milestone. You know, we do provide transportation and we utilize Uber. And so, you know, for a mom with a toddler or a newborn that has to put a car seat in and out of a different Uber, car several times a day, they do it. And I applaud them because that is not easy. So then when they have their own car, and this particular mom does have a toddler, you know, we're helping her put the toddler seat in the car the first time. And I thought to myself, you know, she's not going to have to do this twice a day now. This is her car. Her child's going to get in this car, the same car every day, to be dropped off at daycare and picked up from daycare and go to the appointments and things that they need to do without having to wait for someone to pick them up, you know, and then dealing with the car seat in and out.
Well, when you live in North Texas, cars, we're a car culture here. You have to, it's with not having a car is makes life much more challenging if you can't get to your work and your kid's school. And absolutely, that's amazing.
So the financial part of our program is a very large part, helping them save, helping them pay down debt, help. And you know, to Carrie's point, you know, one that just had a medical emergency, you know, listen, everything is expensive. So one thing, one life event, you know, a car that breaks down or a tire that you need or a child that gets sick, that can, you know, eat up your savings and potentially put you in a situation where you can't pay your rent. And so for that mom who was in the hospital for 2 weeks, she had saved enough that that didn't put her in a financial strain. You know, she was able to come back and, you know, she's not at risk of being evicted. She's able to pay her bills. And that's because, you know, part of our program is to teach them how to save and how to budget their money and spend wisely.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. So I want to know personally, how did you two get involved with Emily's Place?
Carrie's been here longer, so I'll let her go first.
All right.
So I've been with Emily's Place just under 3.5 years. Okay. And my background is actually in education administration. So somebody contacted me and said, I think you'd be a good fit for this position. Would you be willing to come in for an interview? And then it didn't happen at that time. And I just, you know, life was in the way. A few months later, they contacted me again. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to go in there. And I was like, but I don't know that I want to drive that far. But I went in and I got to the campus and I knew that this is where I was supposed to be. So I had to make some arrangements and I, you know, had started there, I think, within a month. And, you know, it has evolved, you know, over the last 3.5 years. We have a great team, I think, that has helped build up our program and add some programming to it and build some new community partners. But ultimately, I knew I was placed there, I think. Yeah. I do have a background. I am a survivor of domestic violence from many years ago. But I think I was put there at this time because I was healed. And ultimately, I'm working with these ladies. And then there are times, not they don't necessarily know, but there are times when I can sit down with them and say, you know, I was there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that respect and trust is a little bit different with them then because they know this isn't just somebody telling me what to do. It's not that easy. They don't understand. I do understand.
Yeah.
So I think that really, really helps in our program when I'm able to share a little bit about myself too with them.
That's great. What about you, Colleen?
So I have just finished my first year at Emily's Place. You know, my background was I was an accountant and CPA. early in my career, and then, you know, worked for a software company for many years. And then I was blessed to be able to stay at home when we had our second daughter. But as my husband tells everyone, I didn't stay home. I just volunteered more. So when our older daughter started her undergrad in college, I thought, you know, I want to go back into the workforce. But I knew for me it was going to be nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So that was 10 years ago. And I have made nonprofit my career for the last 10 years, leading different organizations. Most of my nonprofit career has been in Collin County. So I love the community here. I've worked in Dallas too. No disrespect to any other communities. I've worked in Fort Worth as well. But there is something special about Collin County. Our organizations collaborate. Yeah. Our community supports us. And it's the only place I want to be.
That's great. The few interviews I've done with organizations in our area, yeah, the cooperation and the respect you guys have for each other, part of what makes it successful, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is like, hey, we're all here. We're all on the same team. We're all trying to help each other because we want to reach and help this community.
You know, they say it takes a village, and it really does take a village. I think working together and collaboratively, we can help a lot more people than just staying in our own, you know, little nonprofit world.
Or trying to do everything yourself.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, you guys doing that, we'll send you over there. Yeah, that's great. So here's the $1 million question. How can our listeners help? Because that's really what we want to spread awareness of all these amazing organizations and hopefully encourage people who listen and people here at Christ Fellowship to get involved with some of these organizations. So tell us.
So like most nonprofits, you know, we need resources, and those resources are time and money. So for us, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our community, and volunteers are key to our work. So we have individuals that volunteer with us. We have families that come together to volunteer. We have groups. Sometimes they're company groups, neighborhood groups, and we love our volunteers and we love having them on campus. So that is always, you know, a very big need for us. And Carrie, I know you have more specific of what, I mean, there's so many ways that you can volunteer with us. There are some needs that are more pressing than others.
Yeah. So some of our opportunities on campus are, you know, childcare for the children. So our moms can take their programming and their classes in the evening when they're, you know, doing the mental health class, things like that. Gardening upkeep. We have beautiful grounds, but it is a lot of work to upkeep. You know, then there's some organizing office supplies or the playroom, cleaning, one-on-one time with moms during holidays. Like I said, we're building new memories and traditions, and sometimes the moms, it's the very first time that they get to wrap a present for their child. Aww. So we'll have this one-on-one time with them during those type of things. We have a mom's and a children's boutique. That is a lot of work to keep that up. It's all donation-based, but we do need people to come in and help sort clothes or switch out the seasons like we're doing right now. And there's so many more things, you know, depending on what, you know, what is your individual skill set that you might want to give back.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we need a mom that could use some help tutoring, you know, right now, you know, get some tutoring for math. You know, there's so many different things. So, you know, we do a volunteer orientation about every other month.
Okay.
And we can do it on an individual or a group basis. We'll even come to you and train a group of you so that you can come and join us at Emily's Place. And I always say, we always kind of joke around that we're going to rope you in and come volunteer, but you're never going to leave. But, you know, the reason why you never leave is because you fall in love with Emily's Place and the families there. And then you become part of our family, too.
Oh, I love that. So I'm assuming there's a background check that would be needed.
There
you can't just show up.
Correct.
You need to go through the orientation and all the...
So if you
training.
Go on our website and you can go to the volunteers, there's a volunteer application. That would be the first step.
Okay.
So once you submit that, our volunteer coordinator will send you a list of dates that upcoming orientations are taking place and the link to do the background check.
That's great. And and we have a lot. We really encourage our small groups here to serve together.
Okay.
So that would be a great opportunity for everyone to go through the training together and then see if you can't do some things as a small group.
Well, in our children's boutique, that is new this summer, and that was done by a volunteer group that came and painted and decorated and helped us put all that together. So, you know, could we do that with our staff? Yes, it would take a lot longer, you know, and it wouldn't, we have other priorities. Our families are our priorities. So not that, you know, we love having our boutiques and those are priorities, but for us, it wouldn't have gotten done as quickly. Mm-hmm. And that group had so much fun doing it. And, you know, we have a group of a gymnastics team came and brought mats and everything to do gymnastics with our children. Oh, we fun. Have a mom or another volunteer that's come and done, you know, yoga and Pilates classes. So mm-hmm. with our moms. So it's all different things. Some, we've had an artist come to campus who wants to do painting. So it's not just the traditional volunteer opportunities, but, you know, if someone has a specific passion or skill set that can add value to our families, we love it.
That's great. Now, what about donations? Do you guys take donations, need donations?
We do. We take... Well, we
so we have an Amazon wish list.
Okay, that's
that
great.
Is we update once a month. Like, you know, cleaning laundry soap. You can yes. just imagine how much laundry soap we go through.
Yes.
Clorox wipes, things like that. The ongoing things that we have on there, and then we do take donations. Moms and children gently used clothing. We do have some specific needs for children's clothes coming up as we switch over to the fall winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clothing. So we'll send that out like in our volunteer, you know, monthly newsletter and say, these are sizes we're looking for. You can email our donations email. It's just donations@emilysplacetx.org and schedule a time to drop off your items.
We'll have a lot of things. We'll have a holiday wish list on Amazon mm-hmm. as well. And then, you know, for people who prefer not to shop, you know, obviously financial donations are always welcome as
sure.
well.
Sure. Yes. Cash is great.
Cash is good.
Yes. No, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you guys are sharing all these needs and I love that there's a variety of ways. So men, women, mm-hmm. all ages, all different ability levels and skills. You probably could plug them in somewhere.
You know, the last 3 weeks we've had a number of groups on campus because they are building a bike shed. You know, we've had all these wonderful bikes for the children to ride, but you know, the weather in Texas, that they just really get weathered and they don't last that long. So we had somebody volunteer to create the plans, and we just, you know, needed to come up with the supplies, and it's been volunteer groups that have been building this shed over the last 3 Saturdays. So I know they've really enjoyed putting that together.
That's great. That's great. Well, I am. I'm so excited that you guys came and shared all this great information with us. I really hope this motivates someone out there, or maybe hopefully many people out there to get involved. And also, you know, we should say if you are someone who is experiencing domestic violence in your own home, it would, like I said at the beginning, it would be naive of us to assume that those statistics don't touch people right here at Christ Fellowship or within the listening audience of this podcast. You reach out to these ladies.
Please do reach out to us.
Yeah, they want to help you.
We're here to serve.
Yeah. So it's Emily's Place, Texas,
TX.org. And
yeah.
you can get the links there to volunteer, to get to our Amazon wish list, to make a donation, and then just keep up with what we're doing. And we also have where you can sign up for our newsletter, so we can keep you in the know that way as well.
That's great. All right. Well, we always like to close the podcast with prayer. So I would love to pray for you guys and your organization. Father God, I thank you for Colleen, and I thank you for Carrie, and I thank you that you have placed in them a heart to serve women, a heart to serve children, particularly those who have been affected by domestic violence. So Father, I thank you for Emily's Place. I thank you for all the staff, all the volunteers, all the people who are working so hard to help these women rebuild their lives. And Lord, I want to pray for the women themselves. I just ask that you would heal them, heal their hearts, heal their spirits, heal their bodies, help them see a path forward that's full of hope and full of joy, and help them as they take the courageous step to change the course of their life and the course of their children's life. We pray that you would give them all the strength and endurance and safety that they need to do that. It's in your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much, and we will see you back next week.